Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Dr. Fred. You're tuned in to Study, Grow, Know, and this is another Short Takes. And again, we try to keep these short, to the point, maybe between 5 to 10 minutes. If I go over a little bit, don't hold it against me. I try to keep them short. But I'm going to get right into it because we're talking about the cancel culture of today. So this one's called The Cancel Culture of Acts 21. Now, I wrote an article the other day, and you may have seen it either at sermonaudio.com/study-grow-know or at my blog site, studygrowknowblog.com. And by the way, if you have not shared those sites with other people, friends and family, I'd really appreciate it if you would do that and also maybe subscribe to both. That way you will never miss another Short Takes or sermon or blog that we put up here. But anyway, I wrote an article on the cancel culture the other day, and if you recall it, you'll remind yourself that it's about the mob, the cancel culture of today, who seeks to cancel literally everything and anything with which it doesn't agree. And from that article, you may recall the words of actress Gina Carano, who lost her acting gig job from The Mandalorian, produced by and created by Lucasfilms and Disney. Here's what she said that got her in the hot seat and canned. Jews were beaten in the streets, not by Nazi soldiers, but by their neighbors, even by children. Because history is edited, most people today don't realize that to get to the point where Nazi soldiers could easily round up thousands of Jews, the government first made their own neighbors hate them simply for being Jews. How is that any different from hating someone for their political views? Unquote. Now, even though her words were labeled abhorrent by Lucasfilm, and that was the reason for her firing, the truth is that she was simply expressing historical truth. But unfortunately, inconvenient truth, any kind of truth, is inconvenient for the mob cancel culture, and they want to silence it. They want to get rid of it. They want to get rid of the people who actually have the audacity to speak those truths. The left, the cancel culture mob, has an agenda and a narrative. And because of that, they've got to pursue and install that narrative and agenda. Anything that goes outside that narrative and their personal agenda must be silenced and or eliminated. Now, this isn't new, right? It's not like, excuse me, the cancel culture just came into being in the 19th, 20th, or 21st century, and all of a sudden it's here. No, it's been around for eons, for generations. Acts 21 is a perfect example of what I'm talking about here, because in those days, people tried to cancel Paul. Let's look at what basically is discussed here in Acts 21, and let me pull that up really quickly, because it's important for us to understand how the cancel culture works and what they try to accomplish, and the fact that it really isn't new. It's just new to us because we haven't really experienced it that much before, but it's been around forever. So if we recall from Acts 21, Paul was going to go on to Jerusalem. And as he went on to Jerusalem, he was warned by disciples and friends that, don't go. This is what's going to happen to you if you go. But he had to go. He believed he had to go, that God wanted him to go. And so he did go. And then when he went there, he went to Jerusalem and he was met by James and the other disciples. And they were very excited about basically what Paul's ministry had been and how he was so effective in working with Gentiles. And so they encouraged him to do that. But they were also a little bit concerned about what Jews were thinking about Paul. And they were concerned that they were getting out of hand with it. And Paul needed to do something, they felt, to kind of mitigate the fears of the Jews. So they said, look, there's some people here, some guys that are going to be doing a Nazarite vow. You take them to the temple, you pay for their expenses, and in this way the Jews will understand that you're not attacking Judaism and the Mosaic law, etc., etc. So Paul thought, okay, well, that's a good idea. So he tried to do that. And the reality is, even when he tried to do that, let's look at it from verse, 27. When the 7 days were almost complete, and we're talking about the Nazarite vow here, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who is teaching everyone everywhere against the people and the law and this place. Moreover, he even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." Okay, so here's what happened. Then we see, first of all, we see their false accusations. These were actually lies. They were lies, outright lies. Paul had not done this. They had seen Paul with Trophimus, an Ephesian, a Gentile, outside the temple, so they thought, oh, I bet he brought him into the temple. They lied. And so because of that lie, panic ensued. And look at this. As they were seeking, verse 31, to kill him, Paul, word came to the tribune of the cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion. So he took his soldiers, verse 32, they went up there, and they saw the people, and when the people saw the tribune and the cohort of soldiers, they, quote, stopped beating Paul. And they took Paul away, they put him in two chains, and they took him away for his own safety. But here's the reality. These people wanted to kill Paul. This is the cancel culture of his day. They wanted to kill him, and they did not want to stop until Paul was dead. So we know that in Paul's ministry, Jewish men, Judaizers, who were trying to take the new converts to Judaism and convert them back to Judaism, so they were converted from Judaism to Christianity, and these Judaizers wanted them to come back to Judaism. Yeah, you can still be a Christian, that's fine, but you need to do it as a Jew. And that's what they were after. So these people chased him from place to place throughout Asia Minor. And here, finally, when he gets to Jerusalem, we have some of the same people, the same cancel culture mob, going after Paul, making false accusations, and then trying to beat him to death. Well, does that sound like today? It should, because it's happening today. Now, God always intervened where Paul was concerned. There was one time in Acts 14 where actually it seems that Paul had died. And then the disciples and the others gathered around him, and he miraculously got back up. But here he was, left for dead. And these people in Acts 21 were trying to kill Paul as well. We constantly read throughout the Bible that we should never fear our enemies, because this is a sign to them that they're not saved and we are, if we don't fear them. Well, how do you not fear these people when they're trying to kill you? You rely on God. That's how you do that. That's the only way I know. It's the only answer that I know of. That's what the Bible tells us. We wait on the Lord. And folks, I just want to say to you, the cancel culture is not going away anytime soon. But I think it is incumbent upon every Christian, to decide ahead of time how they will react or be. What is our outlook going to be when we're faced with this cancel culture that may want to harm us, may want to kill us, and certainly would like to silence us? As Christians, we're not to fear those who attack us and want to cancel us. We're not supposed to do that, and that only can happen when we rely on God. We are to carry on and be about the Father's business. That means that we may become the target of the cancel culture. Our response: we're not supposed to give in. We're not supposed to give up. We're not supposed to cower. We are supposed to carry on. So let's decide ahead of time what we're going to do. And let's decide to give God the glory and make sure that our actions are worthy of Him. And who knows? Maybe our actions will allow the door to open to actually witness to some of these people involved in this cancel culture. You never know. God is going to be glorified whether by life or death, either way, right? So let's move on with an understanding that God is in control. I'm out of time. I want to say goodbye, and I want to thank you so much for being with me today. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRubo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.